It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Romans. We're in the 8th chapter, and we're going to begin reading today with the 18th verse. So Romans chapter 8, verse 18, and please look that up. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to call us, our phone number here is 217-847-2717. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And please check out what we have there. We have many studies. Please, that you would enjoy those, and hope that you do. Also, if you would like to email us, it would be parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either email address will work. And so please, that you would contact us. We'd love to hear from you. Now, I hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Romans chapter 8, beginning to read with verse 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's a wonderful verses of Scripture. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and enjoy this precious study. I praise you for the opportunity to open your word and pour over it, and we just look forward, Father, that you would give us strength and direction, and just take this precious word and penetrate the hearts of all that are listening. I thank you, Father, that every time I open this book and study and enjoy it and fellowship with you, Father, that you touch my heart, you change my heart. Please continue to do that to my heart as well as all that are listening. First of all, of course, Father, we know that you must be born again. We cannot miss that step, because if you miss that step, you miss everything, you lose everything. We must come by faith to your Son, the Lord Jesus, Father. So help today bring people to the cross of Calvary through this study, that they would be born again, and they would begin to walk and fellowship with you each and every day, and grow and have the wisdom and power and peace that you offer, something the world cannot offer. But, Father, please, that be done. And then, again, it just be the starting. And it's a joy, Father, for these many, many years that I have enjoyed your presence in my life. I just thank and praise you that I had the opportunity, had the invitation to come and trust in you as my Savior. I was born again. And, Father, we just thank and praise you, because that was in 1975, many, many years ago. And it's been wonderful. It's been a joy to be a child of God. Father, I want that hope. I want that joy in the hearts of all that are listening. So please today, just speak to all of our hearts. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this 18th verse, and we have, gotten down to the the 19th verse here. But as we enjoy this, we need to see that, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." The promise of eternal life, the joy of walking with Him today is such a joy. But eternity, and to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus, to be to a place where there's going to be no more pain and no more sorrow, no more weeping, it's going to be beyond our thought. And I want you, again, to know the Lord Jesus so that we can enjoy that together. I know the Lord Jesus. I have trusted in Him, and I walk with Him each day. We need to understand, though, because the world hates the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? The Lord Jesus is the Creator. Christ is the Creator of all the world, of everything we know, the universe, everything. Why would anyone hate the Creator? The old devil sees to that, and he sets out to make it seem like a lie. And so it is not a lie. If you would come by faith of the Lord Jesus, you will know that. You can hold on to that, and without question, when you're born again, you'll know that He is the Creator of the world. So please trust in Him today and walk with Him. But if you fail to trust in Him and you begin to believe the tricks of the devil, you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. And I don't desire that for anyone. My greatest enemy to the cross, to the Lord Jesus, I don't desire that for anyone. And everyone has the opportunity to be born again if you'll just listen and come. We looked last week there, last time we were together, that probably Paul, next to the Lord Jesus, has suffered as much as anyone, and I know there are many people that do that suffer greatly. But we look at Paul, and he was in prison because of the Lord Jesus Christ, preaching the precious news, had free gift of salvation. What is there that would cause anyone to desire Paul or any preacher of the today preaching the truth, the gospel of death, burial, and resurrection, to be imprisoned? It's because the devil and his crowd hates it. And so we know that. The world hated the Lord Jesus when He was here. The world crucified the Lord Jesus and put Him on the cross. So we need to recognize that, realize that there is going to be suffering, and just praise God for it. Walk every day closer to Him, praising His precious name. There are many that have suffered, but I know that Paul here has got to be one that is close. Stoned, left for dead, all those imprisoned, beaten, many stripes, all these things is what Paul faced. And the only one that I can recognize and think of that would be of worse than Paul, and that would be the Lord Jesus. But there could have been many that have faced that kind of persecution as Paul did. But none of them suffered equal to the Lord Jesus as He died on the cross to save us. Paul looks at that as worthy. He computed it. He looked at it. He reasoned it out and realized that it would be much greater to face this persecution than to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we started last time, we were looking up 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. And that's where we ran out of time, so we'll begin there today. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. 2 Timothy 2:12. "If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us." Walk with the Lord Jesus, and we'll not only reap the benefits of being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, but we will also, as it says here, reign with Him. What a joy. So please, look to the Lord Jesus for your strength and your power, and do not deny Him today. Today is the day of salvation. And then we look at the 19th verse here. It says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. When Jesus appears, what will happen? And let's look at Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. Colossians 3, 4. "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Now, this is not the rapture, because we will be coming with him. Jesus first will come for his bride. That's the church. He will first come with the bride. Many people believe in the rapture is pre-tribulation. In other words, we'll be taken up before the 7 years of tribulation. Some believe in mid-tribulation. They're mid-tribulationists, and some are post-tribulationists. I believe without question that it is pre-tribulation. We are not going to face the tribulation period. God will take us out. And you might say, well, what's going on today? Well, I promise you it is nothing, nothing compared with what is going to happen during the tribulation period. So you see, first, without really going deeply into that, and right now we're just going to cover this area that is in Romans concerning the, as the scripture said, the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. So when the church is raptured, there will be a 7-year tribulation period. And during that 7 years, we will be involved, the church will enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's the event that will be taking place in heaven while the tribulation is going on down here. If you do not want to face that tribulation period, you need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. If you die before the church is raptured, then you're hellbound, and you'll be in the lake of fire for eternity. So there's no choice there. But please do not wait. Today is the day of salvation. So you see, first of all, the church will be raptured. Then there's going to be 7 years of tribulation. Then he will come in great glory in revelation with his church, and every eye shall see him. When the church is raptured, we will meet him in the air. The world will not see him. This event is at the end of the tribulation, at the Battle of Armageddon, and we will be coming with him. And when I say the great glory and the revelation with his church, that's his appearing, his coming. And he will come and plant his feet upon the earth. And again, every eye shall see him. Now, let's go back to Jude chapter 14. You need to know the calendar of events. Again, this is the church age. It started at Pentecost some 2,000 years ago. And it will be ending, I believe, soon, because he will take his bride away. As Isaac received Rebekah, because Eliezer, Abraham's servant back in the Old Testament, we have a beautiful picture of this event, because the Eliezer, the servant, went to a foreign land. And you see, Eliezer stands for the Holy Spirit. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down here to this God-forsaken earth that the devil has poisoned, and sin has poisoned, and he has come to collect his church. And so as he is doing that, as each individual is saved, one day, and that day I believe is very soon, the last person will be saved. And when that last person is saved, the church will be complete, and then the Spirit of God, we will come up and meet the Lord Jesus bodily. We'll meet Him in the air. We will receive our glorified bodies. Those that have died in the Lord Jesus, their graves will be open. They will receive their glorified bodies. We will meet Him bodily in the air. And then we're going to go home, be with Him for 7 years while this horrible tribulation, as the book of Daniel, the book of Revelation speaks so clearly of, it'll last 7 years. And at the end, then the Lord Jesus with us, with the church, will come back. And He will, every eye shall see Him, and we will come, and we will be with Him to that last event, and then we will usher in what they call the millennial reign of Christ, the thousand-year reign of Christ. Now, we're going to look at Jude verse 14. There is no chapters, it's Jude verse 14. And look at this, and Enoch also, the seventh of Adam, prophesied these sayings, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints to execute judgment upon all." Now look at that verse of Scripture. That's verse 14 in the very beginning of 15. Enoch prophesied that this was going to take place. And cometh with 10,000s of His saints. And so we're going to come with Him, the church will be with Him, and Jude confirms that, and Enoch is the one that has stated that, and what a glorious promise from someone so many years ago, and yet, you know, we're looking at 6,000 years ago? 7,000 years ago? Yes, that's what we're looking at. What a day to look at that, to know that Enoch, God showed Enoch what was going to happen in our day. I believe it's going to happen in our day. Enoch spoke these words, and God chose Jude to repeat that prophecy. And so Jesus is coming with 10,000s of His saints. That is all believers. Oh, what a beautiful, beautiful promise that's coming. So you see, as we look back now, and we find that in this 19th verse, earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. That is not going to come until everything is finished. And so here we have in verse 20 now, and it continues, "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." The creature was made subject to vanity. The creature was made subject to vanity. It was not. At one time it was perfect. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. There was no vanity. There was no curse. The creation is not in its original state, as we are not. Nor is the creation as it will be. Because at the end, God is going to also do what He's done to the church, made us whole, made us perfect. At the rapture, the same will take place with the creation. Because you see, the creation is under the curse. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the very beginning, and I love the study of the books of Moses. The inspired Word of God, the foundation, is found in those first five books. If you have never studied the book of Genesis and Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, you have missed a blessing, and you're missing a lot in the New Testament if you don't understand the Old. because it's very important that you see and learn from the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep." So we have this formless matter, this space, but we have this matter. Now, it seems this to be the beginning of God's work. You see, God has created the heavens and the earth out of nothing, as far as the heavens that we know, not God's home. At the first, there was nothing to look at. It was just the beginning. It was the start. And as we would look at that, there was nothing to be desired, no use as we know it today. And we would call it, and I call it, the beginning. Just a great mass. And it says, darkness was present because of the absence of light. You understand that? Darkness was present because of the absence of light. And as God progressed with his work, we find he brought order as we know it. He brought it along. Then we come to the curse because of the disobedience of Adam. Now we find that in the third chapter of Genesis. And let's go back to the third chapter, and we can even read the first chapter, verse 2, if you like. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. We'll go ahead and read that in the scripture. "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." You see, he began this progression of creating what we know today. And it took him 6 days, six literal days. Don't be deceived by any. 6 literal days is what it took God to create what we know today. Genesis chapter 3, and we start with verse 17. And it says, "And unto Adam he said," this is after he had eaten of the forbidden fruit, "because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." That is down through the 19th verse of Genesis chapter 3. So you see, the disobedience brought the curse on not only to you and to me and to all of the human race, but it also brought a curse upon the fields, upon the everything, upon the animals, upon the grass of the fields. Everything has come because of that curse. And so as we look back here now in Romans chapter 8, it says, "Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God." So this hope that we have here in verse 20, it says, "But by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope," and again, "because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of the corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God," is to know there will be a time when all will be made right. All the creation made right again. It was at one time, and it will return to that. And so please understand that the whole creation is promised the liberty and glory when Jesus delivers this entire universe from the curse that holds it as right now. That time will come. And I promise you that the colors, you see some beautiful colors in the spring. You see a beautiful sunrise and sunset. You see the gorgeous rainbow. There are so many things. The stars, the sky as you look up at night is so beautiful. The moon as it shines and beautiful. But there's no comparison of what all of this is going to look like and how it's going to be when the curse is lifted. And our God's going to do that. But we need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. That curse can be removed from you. Yes, we're still living the flesh, so we're still going to have the pain and suffering. But your heart and your mind can enjoy the peace of God today as we walk. And so please come by faith to the Lord Jesus and look to Him. Understand that this creature, that the creation is going to be made new, and it'll be brought to the same place that a child of God, born-again believer, will enjoy, and that is perfection. Now at verse 22, "For we know that the whole creature groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body." All can see the suffering of all the world today. You can see the suffering. We are waiting for the redemption of the body. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 through 21. Is wonderful verses to read. Let's turn there. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 through 21. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto a glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Once again, as we begin up here in this third verse, it said, "Brethren, be followers together of me. Mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now I tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross." You see, we're supposed to watch. We're supposed to have fellowship with believers. Those that have come by faith to the Lord Jesus. You look at them, you see them, and you'll have instant fellowship with them because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that's within you, is also within the person you're talking to if they're too born again. And so then you can mark them and fellowship with them, but be very careful, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping. It breaks Paul's heart that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. So you see, we are not to judge, but we can be fruit inspectors. So you know, by looking, by watching, you can tell. And then by the unity of the Spirit, the oneness, the unity. And we have so enjoyed that here because we are one in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if someone comes and they are not born again and they desire not to be born again, then there's a conflict because my spirit and the believers here spirit is not in unity with them. And it's not long, if they choose not to be born again, that they're gone. And my dear friend, I hope you don't make that choice. What are you going to do about Jesus?